The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 136th episode of Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press and Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine on this Thursday, July 28th, 2005. Please remember that this show, this weekly program, is your best defense, maybe your only defense, against international terrorism. Oh, I know, Dave's Gone By may seem like a mere entertainment program, like 60 minutes of comedy, talk radio, music, monologues, interviews, crazy sketches. And you know what? That's just what we want them to think. Because remember, suicide bombers have no sense of humor. So every joke we make on this program strikes a blow against Al-Qaeda, against Bin Laden, against the Basque separatists, and against the NBC Thursday night lineup. Every word we say is closely monitored by the FBI, CIA, NATO, and the G8. Pretty much everyone except Arbitron. And you are playing your part by listening closely to this broadcast. I can't vouch for any other show on the radio dial. It would not surprise me at this point in the least if Clear Channel were run by Al-Qaeda operatives, or Infinity Broadcasting were just another front for Hamas. Why else would these organizations do so much to ruin American radio? They want to confuse us, to make us apathetic, to make radio so bad and boring people turn away from it. And then, just when the next bomb hits, we won't know where to listen. After all, half the stations on the dial don't even have DJs anymore, just electronic voices from Texas. And as we all know, Texas isn't America. The government is telling us to be on the lookout for suspicious packages, right? Well, listen to the radio up and down the dial. All you hear is packaged music, randomly generated playlists of songs nobody wants to hear, put together by people who care only about pleasing the highest bidder. Now, what kind of package is more suspicious than that? Yes, we should be concerned that radicals once hijacked our airwaves. But who are these evildoers hijacking our airwaves? Only someone who hates America and all she stands for could come up with something like CHR and hot AC. It doesn't take a Muslim in a long woolen coat, or in England's case, a Brazilian, to destroy America. It just takes a few radio stations playing Jack, or Bob, or Doug. My friends, you might as well rename them Ahmed, Salim, and Mustafa. But there is no Jack format here, only Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, humorist, and counter-terrorist. In fact, I'm a bargain counter-terrorist, and in the event of any kind of national emergency, the first thing you'll hear is a high-pitched whine coming through your speaker. That would be me, screaming in panic. When I make that chicken-like noise, it's a signal that all is not well. Grab your shotgun and run for the hills. For further instructions during an emergency, I suggest you take a compass and a map, because I ain't going to be here. But until such a calamity occurs, well, I am certainly there for you 100% with an hour of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. Tonight, in keeping with the theme of bombs bursting in air, seemingly everywhere, and in keeping tabs on the ethnic psychos trying to do us harm, we've got a very special segment. We have managed to secure the very first episode of a new reality series set to air as part of the fall season on Al Jazeera TV. That's right. The face of Arab media does more than just news programs and play the greatest hits of Bin Laden, old and new. They also have entertainment programming, or at least they try. Their soap operas do pretty well, but they have no luck with sitcoms because, of course, laughter is forbidden by the strict letter of Islamic law. Apparently, that's based on a famous passage in the Quran where Muhammad was leading an army into battle. He accidentally dropped his sword and farted when he bent over to pick it up. All his soldiers were laughing so hard they couldn't fight and were quickly massacred. A rather tragic but whimsical episode in the history of Semite culture. Anyway, as I said, comedy is a non-starter at Al Jazeera, but they, too, have picked up on the reality trend. 5 years too late, but hey, it's cheap, and Everybody Loves Raymond reruns won't be available till 2007. And so, their first scimitar stab at a reality show is obviously based on an American format. Kind of a cross between Donald Trump's The Apprentice and The Real World. It's called So You Want to Be a Terrorist, and it has all these young murderer wannabes competing to be the next big suicide bomber. Now, I did hesitate about playing this on tonight's program. People might take it the wrong way. I am not condoning the show. I just think it's a real window onto the Arab world. And besides, I needed to fill an extra 15 minutes, and they paid me, so... No, seriously, pay me enough, and I will read testimonials for skinhead child molesters. I'm a whore, but an honest whore, with my own format. And that format also includes... The News Gone By, our zany look at current events. Topics this week include marching Pakistanis, stupid Canadians, feminized Bulgarians, nauseous Brazilians, violent octogenarian Romanians, ticklish Floridians, bearish New Mexicans, and one branded New Yorker. Yes, it's a cavalcade of xenophobic hatred tonight on Days Gone By because, let's face it, if we can't make fun of other people, how can we feel better about ourselves? But I'm feeling great about tonight, because we've got The News Gone By, Terrorism Comedy, and our weekly Inside Broadway segment, all on Dave's Gone By tonight. The timer's ticking, and we're set to go off in just 60 seconds from... Boom!
Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies, plus 1,000 copies of your latest brochure on special paper. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman. Their service can't be duplicated.
Did you know Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By is not just a radio personality, he's also a playwright. And his book, Marriage Babies and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor he brings to his show every week. Funny, sad, and true. At only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback, Marriage Babies and the End of the World makes a great gift. So get your copy today. Call 516-295-1511. That's 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
In the wake of War of the Worlds and the new Batman flick, the latest Star Wars movie already feels like a blast from the past. But everybody remembers the first one, and for Star Wars fans, the original trilogy is kind of a benchmark of their film-going youth or adulthood. Well, there's an off-Broadway show coming to the Lambs Theater just for them. And it's also for those of us who could take or leave Star Wars, but wouldn't mind a refresher course on its particulars just to keep up with popular culture. The great part is that the entire movie series, laser fights, wild costumes, gay robots, and all, have been compressed into 65 minutes. And everyone from Princess Leia to Darth Vader to Chewbacca have been morphed into one man, Charles Ross. He plays everybody, recreates the sound effects, sings the John Williams theme song, flies the ship, the whole intergalactic kit and caboodle in his show, the one-man Star Wars trilogy. Now, Charles Ross is a Canadian actor who has also done a one-man Lord of the Rings. According to his website, onemanstarwars.com, when Star Wars III: Revenge of the Sith came out, Lucasfilms invited Ross to do his show at the movie's official opening convention. So, if the Force is with you, and you want to catch the one-man Star Wars trilogy, to the Lambs Theatre go. Performances start this Tuesday for a limited run through Halloween. And speaking of twisted Halloween-type fun, New York Theatre Workshop down on East 4th Street is offering Oedipus at Palm Springs. Well, it's been updated in a darkly funny way by the Five Lesbian Brothers, a quintet of extremely talented and smart and satirical women. Maureen Angelos, Babs Davey, Dominique DeBell, Peg Healy, and Lisa Krohn. Now, Lisa Krohn has had some success with one-woman shows called Well and 2.5-Minute Ride, but they're still best known as the Five Lesbian Brothers, turning gender roles and stereotypes on their heads. But not in a strident, hectoring way. Everything is done through zany comedy with a dose of the dark side. And Oedipus in Palm Springs certainly promises that. It's about two committed lesbian couples trying to enjoy a vacation. Golf, drinks, tanning, without letting family and reality intrude too much. And then, somewhere, there's a hidden identity crisis just waiting to change everything. The website for New York Theatre Workshop calls it the Feel Weird Lesbian Tragicomedy of the Year, and who am I to disagree? Oedipus in Palm Springs opens Wednesday and plays through the end of August. I'm sure if it's well received, it'll get an extension or two, which is the opposite of what happened to another show last week, a Broadway show, one that was supposed to run through September 3rd, but reviews were so bad, it sped away last Saturday after just 1 week of performances. Which show was that? I'll tell you in a minute, but you'd know if you subscribed to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, a bible of the theater industry for more than 61 years. Performing Arts Insider offers comprehensive listings, theater reviews, rumors, contact information. It is the guide professionals use when they want to know what's playing on the stages of Manhattan. The August issue, which you can get at the Drama Book Shop now, has dozens and dozens of shows, including all the fringe you could ever want. If you can't get to the bookstore, isn't it time you subscribed? Especially since Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off the annual subscription price. That comes out to $12 a month, roughly, worth every penny if you love theater and want to know what's doing where, how long, and how well they're doing it. You can see sample pages and prices and more information at PerformingArtsInsider.com. But this is not an online magazine. This is an old-fashioned, hard copy, carry it to the beach, bring it to the theater magazine. Subscribe now and be ready when the fall season begins. It's sooner than you think. 516-295-1511 is the number to call for more information. 516-295-1511. And again, check PerformingArtsInsider.com, which will really show you why you should subscribe to Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. Well, one recent show came upon Broadway in the worst way last week. Suzanne Somers in The Blonde in the Thunderbird. She was the blonde in The Thunderbird, of course, in American Graffiti. George Lucas selected her out of hundreds of girls who auditioned to do one line, "I love you," mouthed silently from the backseat of a Thunderbird car. The role took all of 5 seconds of screen time, but people remembered it, and eventually, indirectly, it led to Three's Company and She's the Sheriff and 4,000 hours of HSN. But Summer's giddy, upbeat persona grew out of a miserable childhood and years of therapy. She had a viciously alcoholic father and a home life so traumatic, her brother and sister became boozers too. when she finally broke away, it was because her high school boyfriend got her pregnant. They were quickly married and divorced, and then she was broke trying to get modeling jobs while supporting a toddler. Things started looking up, but she still had to deal with her own demons. She never became an alcoholic, but was certainly a shopaholic, buying an expensive new blouse every time something went wrong, even though she could barely afford to feed herself and her kid. Add to all of that a love affair with a married man, and she had quite a story to tell. But the critics didn't like the way she told it. Frank Scheck, a friend of mine who reviews for the New York Post, wrote, quote, "The story is obviously courageous, but its telling is remorseless, with stridently sung Broadway show tunes inserted inside the upbeat, relentlessly perky monologue. Billy Crystal, she's not." In my own review for New York Theater News, I wrote that for all Suzanne Summers' self-deprecation and sense of humor about her truly awful past, it's still an overlay of delusional glitz. It makes the whole enterprise feel like a self-help course taught by someone who still needs more help than you do. My favorite review was David Rumi, writing for Variety. He called the show, quote, "self-absorption masquerading as self-exploration, a so-called one-woman musical joyride that chronicles Summers' evolution from zero self-esteem to a level that's surely off the charts," which might serve as a useful cushion when she reads the reviews. Rumi also wrote that Summers' moment of clarity, when she discovers her issues, can be traced back to her father's abuse, comes a good hour after the audience has registered that fact. "I suggest you write about it, Suzanne," intones her therapist. Her husband, Alan, observes with booming solemnity, "Suzanne, this is a book." We don't learn who said, "Suzanne, this is a Broadway show," thus denying the audience the chance to chase down that criminal and bitch-slap them to the ground with an old thighmaster. It's true, critics are never more fun than when they're tearing something to pieces. But just like she's done time and again, Suzanne is picking herself up, dusting herself off, and bringing her show on tour, probably to places like Vegas and Branson, where audiences will be more receptive to a TV diva letting audiences bask in her aura. Which means it may be a while before we see Valerie Bertinelli the opera playing at the Schubert. Then again, stranger things have happened inside Broadway.
We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Hey, theater lovers, do you like the Inside Broadway segment on Dave's Gone By? If you do, you can hear even more about Broadway and beyond on a special segment I do on Worldview. What's Worldview? Tell them, Joe Salzone.
Worldview is a 60-minute conversation about what's going on in the world, and it features Dave Lefkowitz's Theater Review and other great segments only on WGBB.
When is that?
Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Don't watch 60 Minutes. Instead, spend 60 minutes with us.
Wake up, the global village! Get 18 UPI wonders to tell everybody! News, news!
And the news of the world.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week from a lively perspective. In local news, last week's bombings in London and Egypt made New York officials step up their efforts to combat terrorism on the buses and rails. MTA passengers are now subject to random searches and won't be allowed on the trains unless they comply. Even former President George Bush, W.'s father, was subject to these new regulations. He was visiting Manhattan, and police stopped him and asked to search his belongings. Bush said, "Sure, but I have to tell you, I just have this old bag." The cops said, "Hey, don't blame us. You married her." In world news, a group of 2,000 radical Muslims marched in the capital of Pakistan last Friday to protest recent crackdowns on militant groups. Calling themselves United Action Forum, the marchers demanded the release of long-term detainees and briefly clashed with police before going home. See, this is what I don't get. The Republican National Convention comes to Midtown Manhattan, and police have the right to cordon off entire sidewalks full of people and hold them for more than a day until the convention's over. Cops had the right, or at least Bloomberg let them assume the right, to force people off bicycles and book them for causing a disturbance just for being in the vicinity of Republicans. And yet, why is it in friggin' Islamabad, which is supposed to be America's ally in rounding up Bin Laden and company, 2,000 avowed right-wing lunatic Arab militants can go setting cars on fire and nobody's even spot-checking passports? I don't know. I guess all the really dangerous ones are in London now. Still, if it has a turban and a knapsack, handcuff first, ask questions later. I mean, I realize Pakistan has ties to the Middle East and their laws are more strict. But I'm sure they also have their own version of the ACLU. In fact, chopped off hands can easily be reattached within 72 hours of dismemberment. So, come on, Jihad, stop being such crybabies. Or, as I like to say, you gotta grow up before you can blow up. Also, in world news, you know, I was not upset when London beat out New York for the Olympics. They want it, they can have it. Just don't go there by their subway. And I'm totally not upset that not one American city made Travel and Leisure Magazine's 2005 list of top 5 cities in the world, even though Italy and Thailand show up twice. But I am stunned and saddened that America did not take the number one gold at the World Stupidity Awards held last week in Montreal. You guessed it, Canada won, beating out this country, North Korea, and Iran. The Canadian fix was in, of course, since the Stupidity Awards were part of Montreal's Just for Laughs comedy festival. You know, the one Howie Mandel did those pretty funny infomercials for? Well, the awards were dubbed the Oscars of Idiocy, and they were administered by the Academy Recognizing Stupidity Everywhere, ARSE, which proudly calls itself, quote, a bunch of morons. Spokesperson Robert Spence told the media, "I was dumbfounded to see so much stupidity in one room, I almost lost my mind. In fact, I did." Unquote. But America did not go home empty-handed from the Stupid Awards, not with W in the White House. George Bush the Younger took the prize for the stupidest statement of the year. Yay! For making this promise about terrorism during a press conference. Quote, "They never stop thinking of ways of harming America, and neither do we." Yes, he said that. Well done, George. Show those donut-eating, hockey-stick-wielding, healthcare-enjoying Canadians a thing or two. Here's a rundown of some of the other winners in the World Stupidity Awards, courtesy of the Canadian press. Dumbest moment of the year went to Ashley Simpson, lip-syncing and then hoedowning on Saturday Night Live. In her acceptance speech, Ashley thanked the Canadian government and blamed the band. Actually, that was a hotly contested category, since she was also up against Tom Cruise on Oprah and Prince Harry dressed as a Nazi. The stupidest trend of the year went to the use of crystal meth. Paris Hilton came away with a pair, and she won two awards, the first for stupidest woman of the year, and the other shared with Nicole Richie for The Simple Life, stupidest show of the year. Stupidest awards show of the year went to the World Stupidity Awards, which was pretty much a foregone conclusion, but that did not stop 600 country music producers from sulking. And no, Dave's Gone By did not win any stupidity awards. I am bitterly disappointed, especially since the awards were chosen by internet vote at stupidityawards.com, so gosh, you guys let me down. Certainly, I could have been nominated for Reckless Endangerment of the Planet, or if not that, Stupidest Woman of the Year. So in 2006, please, folks, I'm bound to say something stupid enough by then to make me worthy of consideration. Keep listening tonight. And remember, since these are the stupid awards, you have to spell Dave with two H's. Thank you.
summer I might have drowned, but I held my breath and I kicked my feet. I moved my arms around, I moved my arms around. This summer I swam in the ocean and I swam in the swimming pool. Solved my wounds, chlorine my eyes. I'm a self-destructive fool. I'm a self-destructive fool.
In sports news, there was an ew moment last Friday at the World Swimming Championships in Montreal. American diver Chelsea Davis was attempting a 2.5 somersault tuck during the prelims when she misjudged and hit her face on the diving board. Horrified spectators covered their faces as blood streamed from her nose. She was rushed to the hospital for stitches. Officials for the event expressed shock at the accident, except for one Polish judge who gave her a 9.7. In crime news, talk about beating the rap. If you don't have the money to hire a dream team, there apparently is another way to get out of jail free. If you live in Bulgaria and you really, really want to stay out of jail, you can do what Shveko Ikov did. Shveko Ikov of Dragor, Bulgaria, according to Weird But True, wanted to avoid doing 3 years of hard time. So he made sure he'd never do any hard time again. He had a sex change operation, changing his name from Shvetko to Albina. And believe it or not, under Bulgarian law, this makes him a whole different person, which means Albina Ikov does not have to go to jail. It's not like they'll just put him in a woman's prison. If she stays clean, he's a free man, thing. And because of the physical changes brought on by surgery, he cannot be prosecuted for his crimes, which not only explains why Bulgaria is such a strange country, but why Michael Jackson has applied to their embassy 12 times for citizenship. Okay, we've all been suffering from the summer heat, the humidity, the body odor of people in tight places. But let's consider ourselves lucky that we're not Joan Clark of Abbott, Maine. The 61-year-old woman told the Associated Press that she's stuck in her house with the doors closed and the windows shut tight. I assume she has no air conditioning. Why the hermitage? Because 200 yards from her house, there's a dead moose rotting by a lake and attracting all sorts of ravens and vultures. The stench of it sounds like it would be a public health crisis. But officials there say no. So long as the moose isn't in the middle of the road or polluting drinking water, they're not obligated to remove it. In fact, the head of the Maine Water Service told Ms. Clark her best bet was just to go to the lake and pour 50 pounds of lime over the carcass to neutralize the smell. Her response to that, which I'm surprised was printable, was, quote, "I don't know that that's my job, and at any rate, carrying a 50-pound bag of lime across the river at my age is out of the question," unquote. I don't know, I think she has a point. To my mind, a stinking dead moose constitutes a legitimate threat to public health. But let's face it, when you're dealing with a dead moose, there are so many questions and so few antlers. Yes, 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 pull that bull's winkle, it's the comedy bell, signaling that Dave's gone by. Bad pun of the week, brought to you as an eleemosynary gesture by the Dave's Gone By radio show. Every time on the News Gone By, we make a play on words so stagnant, so moosed up, that you'll say, oh dear, when we ring the comedy bell. And if you want to associate your product, business, or service with a Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week, well, here's how. Advertise. For just a few dollars a week, you can be part of this special hour of radio. The rates are cheap, the method is memorable, the results remarkable. We have everything from 30-second ads to whole sponsorship packages available, all of them tailored to helping you reach my audience. Now, these are people who care about good radio. They're not just flipping the dial. They're not just tolerating Jack or some other soulless digitized format because it's there. People who listen to Dave's Gone By want to be here. They want to know what I'm saying. They want to have a laugh or two. And they want a piece of radio that isn't stamped out of a cookie cutter in a corporate creep's corner office. WGBB is a small radio station. That is true. But it's 1,000 watts, reaching up and down Nassau County and beyond into other parts of New York and all over the world on the Internet. And more of my shows are getting preserved on CD and rebroadcast and are archived on the web. A lot of people are listening, and this is your chance to reach them with your message. Call 516-295-1511 to find out how. 516-295-1511. And the rate card is at davesgoneby.org. You can email davesgoneby@aol.com with any questions at all. So 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby@aol.com to sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good. Be ponderful. Returning to the news gone by, here's one from the New York Post's beloved Weird But True column. Outside a theater showing a Bruce Willis movie, a 19-year-old Australian got into a fight, got pretty heated, and the other guy bit off his nose. Asked at the hospital why he would pick a fight, the guy said, "Hey, my nose is off. I have to pick something."
Without my walking stick, I'd go insane. I can't look my best, I feel undressed without my cane. Must have my walking stick, cause it may rain. When it falls, can't be outdoors without my cane. If I ever left my house without my walking stick, well, it would be something I could never explain. Or the thing that makes me glad on Lover's Lane. Would go for naught if I were God without my cane.
Yet another weird but true item about fighting, this one from Romania, where two old men in a retirement home had to be rushed to the hospital because they beat the crap out of each other. 73-year-old Victor Gavrilas and 85-year-old Jorge Botezatu were arguing over the TV remote control, and they started beating each other with their canes. Images of Grandpa Simpson and Jasper, right? No, but here's the beauty part. The Post reports that although Jorge can hardly breathe because of a lung condition, the octogenarian has already gotten into trouble at the home for smuggling in alcohol and trying to boink the women. Asked how he fared in the fight, he said, "Badly. That long, hard thing wasn't my cane." Which leads to our heady headline of the week, courtesy of the folks at AP. Florida police search for naked tickler. Yes, a naked tickler is on the loose in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. He's responsible for, quote, a series of bizarre break-ins in which a naked man enters victims' rooms while they sleep, and then he tries to tickle their feet. Most of the tickled women are over age 60, and these occasional incidents have been going on since 2001, but police don't have a description, and they don't have any leads, so there's not much to be done. It's not like he's leaving a note. Don't make any sudden moves. Coochie, coochie, coo. I don't know. I don't care how old these women are. They've got a guy standing naked right next to their feet. One or two good kicks, and he's going to find another hobby. You know what I'm saying?
Beware, beware, beware of the naked man. Beware, beware, beware of the naked man.
In entertainment news, Fran Drescher has had only moderate success with her new sitcom, Living with Fran. So the question always comes up if she ever bring back the show that made her famous. She said she would, but this time she wants Mr. Sheffield to be played by Jude Law. After all, he's already been in and out of the nanny several times. On the healthy eating front, big news from McDonald's. Last week, they announced the arrival of three new premium chicken sandwiches. These are distinguished from their other chicken entrees by actually having small amounts of chicken in them. Speaking of McDonald's, here's a weird but true story about vomit. A tavern in Brazil has begun charging any patron $8 if he throws up on the premises, even in the toilet. Not only do I predict this surcharge will catch on in other countries, but I predict a year from now, 12,000 new Irish millionaires. Does a bear poop in the woods? Not in New Mexico, they don't. Instead, they break into hotel rooms. Last Monday in Raton, a bear was somehow attracted to a motor inn and motored in. And then one day later, another bear in Taos lumbered in through the front doors of a ski lodge. One desk clerk told the Associated Press, quote, "He walked in, went to the payphones, and then straight to the pool," unquote. At that point, the lodgers chased the animal to an enclosed space by wielding rolled-up newspapers. Excuse me, reality check. I mean, I'm glad it worked. But really, here's the matchup. 200-pound human with rolled-up copy of the Arizona Republic versus bear. Now, I don't care if he is trashing your minibar, he's not a mini bear. If I am in a hotel and I see a bear in the lobby, I don't care if I've got the Sunday Times petrifying amber, I'm running up to my room, blocking the door with a bed, and calling state troopers. Either that, or I'll run outside and flag down a Pakistani and have him stand in the lobby and detonate. It would be messy, but bearable. Sorry. Hey, congratulations to Kristen Connors of Cranston, Rhode Island. She has been chosen the new Ms. Wheelchair America. Connors, who suffers from muscular dystrophy, replaces the former Ms. Wheelchair, Janelle Lee. Now, she also has muscular dystrophy, but was disqualified for not being paralyzed enough. And no, that is not a joke. Lee was photographed standing up, something she can do for brief periods when she's not using a scooter. But officials thought that a picture showing Ms. Wheelchair on all twos sends a confusing message. Much squabbling ensued, with half the organization agreeing, and the other half finding it distasteful and even discriminatory to penalize contestants depending on the extent of their paralysis. Ultimately, Janelle Lee was given a consolation prize and named Miss Disability International, which doesn't quite have the cachet of Sports Illustrated Supermodel of the Year, but hey, it's a gig. And the new winner, Kristen Connors, says she's thrilled, and she apparently wants to move beyond the bickering. She told reporters, "Controversy is really something I can't stand." Oh, wait, sorry, I read that wrong. What Connors said was, "Controversy is really something I can't stand." Finally, in the news gone by, as Cindy Adams writes, "Only in New York, kids, only in New York." Elizabeth Wallenberg, a 27-year-old former writer for Paper Magazine, was skateboarding to work last summer when she fell, right around 2nd Avenue and 13th Street in the East Village. Unfortunately for her, she fell on a hot manhole cover, so hot that the words Con Edison are now permanently branded on her skin just above her buttocks. Wallenberg's lawyer is suing for damages, but I think she should consider herself lucky she didn't hit the part that read, "Caution, wide open hole." And that's the news gone by for July 28th, 2005. Please send your comments, opinions, and premium chicken sandwiches to Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave@AOL.com. You can also email davesgongby@AOL.com or give us a look at davesgongby.org. Either way, I'd love to know your thoughts about the show, your ideas, criticisms, and suggestions. So I beg you, send me cards, letters, packages, postcards, but please, no manholes. Save those for Peter Fitzgerald. Back after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
30 seconds is a long time. You can say a lot in half a minute about your business, your product to sell, your message. Say it on Dave's Gone By. Easy, inexpensive, effective. For details and the rate card, davesgoneby.com or email davesgoneby@AOL.com. Imagine how much you can say to my listeners by advertising on Dave's Gone By. Just like this, 28, 29, 30.
AM 1240 is the place to go if you want to listen to great radio, like silly and smart talk on Dave's Gone By. Thursdays at 7, just give it a try. Do you like the future? Well, what could be sweller than psychic predictions from famous Joyce Keller? Into your future, she'll cleverly delve. Catch her on Wednesdays, 11 to 12. Fridays at 6, you got Bonnie D. Graham. Love and romance, fill up her program. Hear her suggestions on Long Island's dating. Then go and find love, cause it beats Master Saturday Night. From midnight to 3, raucous rock music and wild comedy. Jimmy and Robin behind the mic. 3 solid hours of humor you like. Opinions in politics, find out what's new. Sundays at 7, the weekly worldview. Sometimes you'll laugh and sometimes you'll groan. That's par for the course with the great Joe Zone. Great programming all week long on WGBB. From Long Island's Dating, Friday nights at 6, to Joyce Keller Radio Psychic, Thursday nights at 11, Jimmy and Robin, Rock and Roll Comedy, Midnights on Saturdays, and current events on Joe Salzone's Worldview, Sunday evenings at 7. So there is the lineup on GBB. And don't forget Thursday nights at 7 for Dave's Gone By, and then Thursday nights at 9 for Filler Up, both featuring me. So many programs, please listen to them. On GBB Radio, 1240 AM. On GBB Radio, 1240 AM. On GBB Radio, 1240 AM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our brand new reality show, So You Want to Be a Terrorist, brought to you on the Al Jazeera Network by Shamir's Kebab House, Puri's World of Carpeting, and IHOP, International Heroin and Opium Producers, with convenient branches all over the Middle East. IHOP, leaders in repeat customers since 1922. My name is Mohammed Ahmed Smith, and I am the producer, smuggler, and host. You shall now listen while I explain the rules of Who Wants to Be a Terrorist. We will take 4 people from all over the world, of different backgrounds, families, careers. The only thing they have in common are their faith in Islam, their belief in the Palestinian cause, and their incredibly low IQs. We put all these people together in a small apartment somewhere in the hills of Afghanistan. Then we watch them to see if they have what it takes to be mass murderers. We put them through a rigorous training and special tasks they have to accomplish. If they fail, they are kicked out of the apartment and given jobs in a string of Dunkin' Donuts in northern New Jersey. The runner-up gets his very own line of designer knapsack guaranteed to explode at the touch of a cell phone. And the winner gets 1,000,000 rupees and a chance to die in exciting New York City. Tell them about it, Kamal.
Yes, Mohammed. The winner will receive an all-expense-paid one-way trip to downtown Manhattan, where he will stake out the future crash site of the Freedom Towers. Then, after taking in a Broadway show and dinner at the Names, it's off to the Empire State Building for an evening of killing and maiming and blood. Total value of the package, 2,300,000 rupees and 72 virgins. Mohammed?
Thank you, Kamal. Now let us meet our angry radical contestants. From Saudi Arabia, educated in the United States, but re-educated at an Al-Qaeda camp somewhere in Islamabad, here is Hotpur. Welcome, Hotpur. Do you want to be a terrorist? Do you promise to read the Quran every day, even during the playoffs? And do you promise to kill only foreigners and not your bunkmates?
No, I kill for Allah.
Congratulations and welcome to the apartment. You're welcome. Our second roomie is Eric from Tunbridge Wells in England. Eric says he is tired of the second-class status given to half-Arabs in his country, and he says his hottest fantasy is to get Tony Blair in a room and torture him very, 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 very slowly.
Yeah, right, he's a bastard.
What do you say to people who think you are not ethnically suited to being an Arab terrorist?
Or say, I can put a bomb on a bus as good as any man here, including you, Otboo. Yeah, blow it out your bong.
Well, I see these two living together being a very explosive situation. No pun intended. But we will light a match to them with our next roommate, a lady. Well, a female anyway, and we'll meet her right after this message.
Tired of weight loss plans that just don't work? Ready to shed that shapeless burqa for a smaller shapeless burqa? Finally, there's a diet regimen just for you. It's the Worldwide Zionist Conspiracy Weight Loss Program. Have you been slapping on extra pounds worrying about Jews owning banks and media conglomerates? Do you reach for a handful of chocolates every time American President Bush defends his butt buddy Ariel Sharon? Among its many other evils, Zionism is the number one cause of obesity among Arab women aged 35 to 59. But hating Israel does not have to give you love handles. With our special exercise plan of protest marches, flag burnings, and gradually escalating violence, you'll see that blubber melt away. Combine that with our carefully monitored hunger strikes, and you could go down 2 veil sizes in just 3 weeks. But don't take my word for it.
I went from extra, extra large to a medium, and I didn't have to give up unwanted sexual attacks by my husband. Thank you, Worldwide Zionist Conspiracy Weight Loss Program.
Yeah, I lost 30 kilograms, and that is with my steel-toed boots still on. Heil Hitler! And Worldwide Zionist Conspiracy Weight Loss Program. Yes, those are just 2 of our thousands of satisfied and radicalized customers. Isn't it time you made the call? 1-800-YIDFLAB. That's 1-800-YIDFLAB. Use the Jews to lose. Call 1-800-YIDFLAB now.
Welcome back to So You Want to Be a Terrorist. We've met our first 2 roommates, and already the lentils are hitting the fan. Now we stir the pot by adding our 3rd tenant, Mangush, a very beautiful woman, at least from what we can see above the veil. Salam alaikum, Mangush. Do you feel strange being the only woman in an apartment with 3 evil men?
Well, my papa disowned me when I was raped at age 12. Then my mother took a knife and scratched the word prostitute down my back. When I was 14, I was hit in the head and nearly killed when Arab boys threw rocks at me. Now I am looking for a husband who will only beat me once a week and allow me to be his slave until the day he chooses to set me on fire.
And why do you want to be a terrorist?
Because I love my country.
Well, welcome to the apartment, Mangush.
Oh, and before I forget, I was told that you have a special talent, a special thing you do.
Yes, in fact, that is why I was raped.
Ah, could you share it with the folks at home, who I promise are too busy praying and collecting nitroglycerin to worry about your befouled cooch?
Well, Mohammed, there is something I do with my tongue.
Down, hot or down, boy.
I sing in the old style, the way my mother used to before my father hacked her to death for burning a kebab. Wouldn't you like to hear?
Yeah, love, you sing your bloody arg out. Do it, or I'll blow your leg off.
This is for you, Mama.
Record company men, are you listening? And now, step aside, filthy woman, so we can introduce our fourth and final roommate. His name is Mohammed, just like mine. So that there is no confusion, we are going to call him Jimmy. Jimmy is a mullah at the Allah Akbar Fatwa Mosque in downtown Beirut. He is a controversial figure for introducing liberal reforms into the strict Muslim teachings of the Quran. For example, he says it is a waste to stone an Arab man to death for stealing. You may stone him till he is nearly dead, but then throw him off a roof so he lands on a Jew. That way, you both fulfill Allah's teachings. Jimmy, how does your congregation feel about your being on a reality television program?
Well, honestly, I have not told them. It would be too dangerous. They haven't killed or tortured anybody in 3 whole weeks. If they found out where this apartment is, they would blow up the street. Still, I hope they vote for me in the talent competition.
You think you sing better than I?
No, excremental woman of the night, but my talent is different. I can take a beautiful, peaceful garden and turn it into a blood-soaked wasteland. But that is what all Arabs do.
You tell them, Mel!
Don't start with me, friend, or my foot will sail like a jumbo jet between the twin towers of your legs.
Right, I'm scared. I put bombs on trains, but I'm terrified of Mr. Magoo over here.
Please, please, the show hasn't even started yet. Can't we try to get along?
Kill! Kill!
Arabs, getting along? You are funny, host.
Well, I don't know how funny you'll think I am when I ask you to complete your first task. Tomorrow morning, we fly all of you to a secret compound in the West Bank. Once there, each of you must make friends with a child, no one older than age 9, and no bribing with money. The first one who convinces the child to blow up an Israeli bus gets a new refrigerator, courtesy of the House of Saud.
Boy, piece of cake! I love kids!
Well, I hope so, because the last person to brainwash a child, or the person who fails utterly, will hear this. You're fired! Only on this show, you will be fired from a cannon. We'll be right back to find out how our roommates are getting along after this word from the Turabi Livestock Expo. Sheep, goats, and large tasty rats. It's the next best thing to halal. But don't go away, because tempers are sure to ignite on So You Want to Be a Terrorist.
Is there anything better than an hour of Dave's Gone By? Yes, more hours of Dave's Gone By. After you finish listening to the show on Thursday nights, surf your web over to dfsxradio.com and hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By every Thursday at 8. And if you miss that, they replay it at 11 Eastern Standard Time. So remember, hear Dave's Gone By Thursday nights at 7 on GBB, and then hear older episodes on dfsxradio.com at 8 and 11 every Thursday. It's all the Dave you could ever want! Kinda.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm afraid we have no time to air the rest of So You Wanna Be a Terrorist, but according to publicity by Al Jazeera, in every upcoming episode, people fight, flirt, cry, get naked, and then explode. Somehow I'm kind of glad I wasn't on the press junket for that one. But I think they have a hit on their hands, and I thank you for putting your ears in my hands this evening, whatever that means. Thank you also to Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings, with 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. The same goes for Total Theater, publishers of Performing Arts Insider. Find links to both of these wonderful sponsors on davesgoneby.org. That is also the place to find out how you can advertise. You can buy CDs of past episodes, including this one, or buy my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, or just surf around and find out more about the show, davesgoneby.org. Don't miss my other show, Filler Up, tonight at 9, Wicked Playlist Tonight, more eclectic than Jack will ever be, including Tony Bennett, Joseph Spence, Kate Bush, Public Enemy, and The Grateful Dead, all tonight at 9 on AM 1240 WGBB and live streaming at AM 1240 WGBB.com. And speaking of the web, tune in right now for a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By on DFSXRadio.com. Get there through my website, davesgoneby.org. And if you miss it, you can't listen now. They repeat it at 11. In fact, if you were up early, they're also playing them at 4 in the morning the night before, which is the perfect listening time for insomniacs, partygoers, and terrorists. And hey, you can terrorize your friends anytime with some older episodes of the show by going to theaterpod.com. Entire hour-long shows absolutely free to download or stream theaterpod.com. Thank you to my terrorific wife, Joyce, for all her sweetness and support. Thank you to Program Director Tom Ross and to Joe Salzone for giving me a weekly segment on his Worldview show, Sunday nights at 7. Let's see, does that finish all the plugs? No! Don't miss Chris Smither, who's a great guitarist and was a fun guest on this program in January. He's playing a full set this Wednesday, August 3rd, as part of the South Street Seaport Music Festival. Tickets are free, but call 212-SEAPORT for more information. 212-SEAPORT. So we're going to go out with some Chris Smither, actually an old Bob Dylan tune that Chris covered on his Train Home album, appropriately downbeat and darkly deranged, as befits the times. But my times aren't a-changin'. I'll be back next Thursday, August 4th, for the 138th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. If you see something, say something, and gone by.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting passports brown. Is all filled with sailors. You know the circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. You know the other one is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need some place to go. There's Lady Night looking out tonight on Desolation Row. Albert Einstein disguised as Robin Hood, with memories in a trunk, passed this way just an hour ago with his friend, a jealous monk. He looked immaculately frightful, he bummed a cigarette. He went off sniffing drain pipes. He was reciting the alphabet. You would not think, just to look at him, that he was famous long ago for playing the electric violin on desolation.